Good morning. We are going to do something a little unique today. So if you've never been to All Saints before, this is not how we typically do things. But we are going to take an educational opportunity today. And we're doing what is known as an instructed Eucharist. So we will go through the service, but at certain points along the way, Nathaniel is going to read a commentary describing the history and the theology behind what we're doing. I always tell people one of the things I love about Anglicanism is that everything we do has meaning. And the more we understand the meaning behind what we do, the more it draws our hearts to the God that we worship. And so Nathaniel will be in the pulpit throughout the service, reading the commentary. It's all right here in your worship booklet, so feel free to follow along. It does break up the rhythm of the liturgy a bit, but I think it is beneficial, and so I'm really excited to be doing this morning. So I'm going to turn it over to Nathaniel.
The Holy Communion, also called the Lord's Supper, or Holy Eucharist, has been the central act of Christian worship since its institution by Jesus at the Last Supper, as described in the New Testament. We're on page 5, sorry about that. In this worship, we enter Holy Communion with God as we give thanks for God's saving acts in Jesus Christ and by receiving the consecrated bread and wine, his body and blood. In the Anglican Church, meditative quiet is our custom before the service. Many people prepare their hearts and minds for worship by reading a psalm or saying a simple prayer, perhaps like, Almighty God, grant that we may gladly hear thy word and receive thy sacraments, and that all our worship may be acceptable unto thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The order for Holy Eucharist consists of two parts, the ministry of the word and the ministry of the table. The first part comes to us almost unchanged from the early worship of the Jewish synagogues, and was originally a series of lessons, or readings from Scripture, alternating with responses from the Psalms and other songs in Scripture. The number of lessons gradually was reduced until only two were read, repeated in an annual cycle known as a lectionary. Now, a three-year lectionary is used by Christian churches almost universally, that includes a third lesson from the Old Testament and a longer selection from the Psalms. The Holy Eucharist has had many different openings in its history. The earliest opening was simply to begin with a prayer, the Collect of the Day. As more formal liturgy developed, it became necessary to have a hymn or chant to accompany the entrance of the clergy and other ministers. And the acclamation that was used at the passage of royalty was employed to acclaim the royal priesthood. This acclamation was the Kyrie, Lord have mercy upon us, which is not really a penitential lament as it sounds to us, but in its origins a joyful praise of the King of creation. The popularity of congregational hymn singing led to the common practice today, which is for the entrance to be accompanied by a hymn.
Thank you.
The acclamation. The opening acclamation invites the congregation into the public worship of God. We acknowledge the triune God and his kingdom as the focus of our worship.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
The Collect for Purity. This prayer has begun Anglican worship for centuries. In it, we acknowledge who God is and recognize that we need his help and grace in order to love and worship him.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The summary of the law. The second version of the Book of Common Prayer calls for the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, to be recited at this point in every service. By 1718, the summary of the law had taken the place of reading the entire Decalogue. In the 1892 revision of the Book of Common Prayer, the Decalogue in full was required once a Sunday, and in 1928 that was changed to only once a month. Hearing God's law reminds us he is holy, and we are called to live in obedience to him.
Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets."
Kyrie, Trisagion, and Gloria in Excelsis. These ancient Christian hymns date back to at least the 4th century. Over time, the Kyrie Eleison, Lord have mercy, was moved from the opening and put after the entrance hymn. It may be replaced with the Trisagion, Holy God, Holy and Mighty, Holy Immortal One. The Gloria begins with the words the angels sang to announce the birth of Christ to the shepherds in Luke 2:14. It has been sung as part of the Roman Mass for centuries and has always been a part of the Anglican Eucharistic service since the first prayer book in 1549. It may be sung at the beginning of the service, following the Kyrie or Trisagion, or it may be placed at the end of the service before the final blessing. It may also be replaced with another song of praise.
Have mercy on us.
the collect of the day. The original beginning of the service, the collect of the day, is a special prayer in a particular form. It is usually only one sentence and begins with an address to God that names an attribute of His and gives Him praise. The second half of the prayer draws together the theme for the day and makes the petition. The collect is extremely important for understanding the day's theme and making that theme the motif for all the worship that follows.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that they may plenteously bring forth the fruit of good works, as they await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to restore all things to their original perfection, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
The lessons. The word lessons comes from the Latin lection, for reading.
A reading from Zephaniah. Be silent before the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is near, and the Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. And though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, and a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring distress on mankind so that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. In the fire of his jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed. For a full and sudden end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. The word of the Lord.
The gradual or sequence. It is a common practice in many places to sing a hymn or say a psalm between the first and second readings. It is often called a gradual because it used to be sung from the step, gradus in Latin, or a sequence because it follows, sequentiae.
Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. Before the mountains were brought forth, or the land and the earth were born, from age to age you are God. You turn us back to the dust and say, go back, O child of earth. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You sweep us away like a dream. We fade away suddenly like the grass. In the morning it is green and flourishes. In the evening it is dried up and withered. For we consume away in your displeasure. We are afraid because of your wrathful indignation. Our iniquities you have set before you, and our secret sins in the light of your countenance. When you are angry, all our days are gone. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The span of our life is 70 years, perhaps in strength even 80. Yet the sum of them is but labor and sorrow, for they pass away quickly and are gone. Who regards the power of your wrath? Who rightly fears your indignation? So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written for you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Gospel. The liturgical gospel is a reading from one of the four scriptural gospels that proclaims some word or act of the Lord. The gospel may be sung or said in the midst of the people as a symbol that Christ came into the world. The gospel is sometimes read from the north corner of the altar, which gives rise to the practice of referring to the north side of the church building as the gospel side. Proclaiming the gospel is one of the special tasks of the deacon. Because all priests have also been ordained deacons, if no deacon is present, a priest may read the gospel. At the announcement of the gospel, some people sign themselves with a small cross on the forehead, lips, and breast to signify their desire that the gospel may live in their understanding, on their lips, and in their hearts. When desired, a sequence hymn may be used before the reading of the gospel lesson.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you had scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Gospel of the Lord.
The sermon. The homily or sermon follows the readings and is intended to be a response to the word has just been read. Today, this commentary takes the place of the sermon. The people sit during the sermon following an opening prayer. The Nicene Creed. The people's response to the gospel is the faith of the church as expressed in the Nicene Creed, which dates from the 4th century struggles against several heresies or false teachings. The creed sums up those beliefs required to be held by all Christians. In the 3rd section of the creed, the word Catholic literally means universal. Thus, we are claiming that we are all part of one universal or Catholic faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the 3rd day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people. The people's response to God's word continues with intercession. Prayer is offered for the church, the nation, the welfare of the world, those who suffer and who are in any trouble, and the departed.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, in your holy word, you have taught us to offer prayers and requests and to give thanks for all whom you have made. We appeal to your mercy, gracious Lord, that you might hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Inspire your universal church by your Spirit, granting that all who confess your holy name may agree in the truth of your holy word and live in unity and godly love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give grace, Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, and especially to your servants, Foley, our Archbishop, James, our Bishop, Eric and Doug, our priests, and Robert and DJ, our deacons, that by their life and teaching, they may proclaim your true and life-giving word and rightly administer your holy sacraments. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us to fulfill your great commission, making disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that you have commanded. We pray especially for the Whitaker family as they serve you in Cambodia. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask you to rule the hearts of all who govern us, especially Donald, our president, and Eric, our governor. May they administer justice, govern wisely, and strive for the welfare and peace of the whole world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant your heavenly grace to all people, especially these gathered here, that with meek and reverent hearts, we may hear and trust your holy word, devoting our lives to your righteous service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loved us. We pray especially for Sarah Allen, Jenny Carey, Bruce Headley, and Jason Thayer, who celebrate the anniversary of their birth this week, and Fred and Charlotte Robertson, who celebrate the anniversary of their marriage this week. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We humbly ask you, gracious Lord, to comfort and strengthen all those who in this earthly life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
I invite you to add your own requests at this time. Lord, in your mercy, we bless your holy name for all your servants who departed this life in your faith and fear, praying you would grant us grace to follow their good examples, that with them we might partake in your heavenly kingdom.
Heavenly Father, I lift up the Shaw family to you, an officer who was shot in the line of duty this week, Lord. I just thank you that you have given him to give his service to the community and to serve you, Lord. I just ask that you would comfort his family and their grief.
Lord, in your mercy.
Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen. Amen.
The confession and absolution of sin. It is important that before we approach the Lord's table, we remember that although God is all merciful and forgiving, he is also all righteous and holy. We kneel in penitence to acknowledge that we are sinful and in need of God's forgiveness. Repentance is as necessary as faith in order for us to receive God's grace, and we must set right the relationship between ourselves and God before we approach his altar. The absolution is not merely a prayer by the priest, asking or hoping for our forgiveness. It is the declaration of our forgiveness of sins, and is performed only by a priest or bishop. The priest does not himself absolve the people of their sins, but rather announces what God has done.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have done.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins, to all those who sincerely repent and with true faith turn to him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The peace. The peace has at various times been included in and excluded from the Eucharistic service. It is a sign of the love and fellowship we have for each other in Christ's name. The peace also offers us an opportunity to reconcile with those with whom we are at enmity before receiving Holy Communion.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And with your spirit.
The offertory. The term offertory does not refer to taking a collection, but rather refers to the offering of ourselves together with our monetary gifts, as well as the elements of bread and wine which will be consecrated. The deacon, or if there is no deacon, the priest, prepares the altar by preparing the elements. Enough bread for all is placed on the altar, and a little water is added to the wine in token of the union of human and divine natures in Christ. At the end of the offertory, the server washes the celebrant's hands, who recalls verses from the 26th Psalm, "I will wash my hands in innocency, before I go unto the altar of the Lord."
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Holy Communion, the second part of the service was originally reserved only for the baptized and confirmed. Those who were preparing for membership in the church were called catechumens and were escorted out of the church at the end of the first part. The first part has centered around the pulpit and lectern, but the second part moves our attention to the altar. In the prayer of consecration, we do what Jesus himself asked us to do, thanking God and recalling all that he has done for us. The prayer is in four parts. Each of these four parts corresponds to a different action of our Lord, where he takes, blesses, breaks, and gives his body and blood. The first part is an introduction and begins with a dialogue called by its original Latin name, Sursum Corda. The original is so ancient that it doesn't even contain a verb. Sursum Corda simply means up hearts. After the preface, the people join in with the heavenly host song, the Sanctus.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is just and right, so
it is right and good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy,
consecration. When the priest blesses the bread and wine, using Jesus' own words, something very special happens. Christ comes to us, is present in the bread and wine when they are received in faith. The important change that happens in this resulting holy communion with God is not what happens to the bread and wine, but to the change in our own hearts and minds. As Christ dwells in us and we in him, so, as St. Paul writes, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your tender mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption. He offered himself and made once for all time a perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted this remembrance of his passion and death, which he commanded us to continue until he comes again.
In the invocation, we pray for the presence and blessing of the Father, through the Word and the Holy Spirit, that the bread and wine may become to us the body and blood of Christ. While Anglicans do not believe in the medieval doctrine of transubstantiation, we do believe that Christ is truly present through the sacrament.
So now, Father, we ask you to bless and sanctify with your Word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we may partake of his most blessed body and blood.
During the words of institution, we remember Christ's actions at the Last Supper and recite his words. During the words of institution of the bread and then the wine, and then at the final Amen, some churches will ring a bell called a Sanctus bell. This bell comes from the days when the service was said in Latin as a way to alert the congregation that something special was happening.
On the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
When we remember the magnitude of God's sacrifice for us, we offer back to him all that we have and all that we are. We ask for him to fill us and make us one with him.
Lord and Heavenly Father, with these holy gifts, we celebrate the memorial instituted by your beloved Son, remembering his passion and death, his resurrection and ascension, and his promise to come again. Grant that by his merits and death and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion, making us one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. And here we offer to you, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
The prayer most appropriate for us to pray at this moment is the one our Lord himself taught. The priest begins and the people join in.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The fraction. The consecrated bread is broken to remind us of Christ's body, which was broken for us.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Prayer of humble access. We admit that in spite of all we can do, we are not worthy to receive the great gifts of the body and blood of Christ, and we ask that we may be given God's grace to receive them.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your abundant and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord who always delights in showing mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
Administration of Communion. The celebrant faces the people and extends the invitation to come and receive Christ by raising the paten and chalice.
The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
The Communion. In communion we are joined not only with one another and those loved ones in the communion of saints who have gone before us, but primarily with God as he in Christ promised to be present. To receive the body of Christ, place your right hand on your left. This hand position not only reminds us of the cross on which Christ died, but also provides a throne so that we might receive our King. Raise your hands palm up so that the priest can easily place the host on the palm of your hand. You may then consume it by raising your hands to your mouth, remembering never to leave the altar rail in possession of the Blessed Sacrament. To receive the blood of Christ, the most reverent method is to grasp the base of the chalice gently but firmly and guide it to your mouth. For those who wish to receive by intinction or dipping, you may either leave the host on your palm, allowing the chalice minister to intinct it and place it on your tongue, or you may take the host between your finger and thumb in an upraised position and dip it in the chalice before placing it in your mouth. On a practical note, it's appropriate for women to blot their lipstick before receiving communion. Not only does this prevent unsightly lipstick from sticking to the chalice rim, it also allows for easier care of our purificators. For anyone who does not wish to receive either the host or the chalice, they may receive communion in one kind, signifying that by crossing the arms across the chest for whichever element they prefer to omit, and receiving only the other element. Receiving communion in only the body or only the blood is still a full communion, and any who do so still receive the entire sacrament. Those who are not receiving communion are encouraged to express in their hearts a prayerful desire for unity with the Lord Jesus Christ and with one another. They may, if they wish, approach the altar, cross their arms across their chest, and with head bowed receive a blessing from the priest. Who may receive communion? In the Anglican Church, all baptized Christians who, in the words of the liturgy itself, do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, who have confessed their sins and received absolution, are invited to receive the body and blood of Christ. After communion, it is customary in the Anglican Church that we spend some moments in personal prayer after receiving communion. The post-communion prayer. After all have received, We express to God our heartfelt appreciation for all his wondrous gifts. This prayer is appropriately said by all the people with the priest.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
The priest concludes the worship with a summarizing blessing, and the people go forth in the world in service of our Lord to the tune of a rousing hymn. We have heard God's word in the lessons, the sermon, and the prayers. We have been fed with the body and blood of Christ. Now we are refreshed and strengthened to better love and serve God in our daily lives. Holy Eucharist is not something separate from our daily lives, but rather animates our every word and deed as we exist within God's creation, on God's terms.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen.
Forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.